Hi and welcome to another episode of Millennialism, the show where I, together with experts, authors, friends, and other interesting people, explore a range of topics such as social media, business, culture, self-development, relationships, and health, in order to try to come up with a guide on how to live your ultimate life in the 2020s. Today I'm joined by the founder of the eco-conscious lifestyle brand Lovers of the Sea, Omar Itani. A little bit over a year ago, Omar was living and working for Google in Dublin, Ireland. It was the kind of job many hungry professionals dream of. He had free meals every day, laundry service, and a dentist right in the office. Aside from the perks, however, Omar realized that his job was unfulfilling and decided to quit, start his own business, and become a full-time writer and entrepreneur. Quitting your job to follow your passion is often romanticized in film, TV, YouTube, and social media. But Omar writes about his honest experience in his article, "I left my job at Google and started my own business. Here's the truth about entrepreneurship." Omar shares his everyday struggles of running his own company and following his passion. The article has been viewed by more than 35,000 people and generated almost 4,000 likes since October of 2019. So clearly, Omar has something worthwhile to say. In this episode, Omar and I speak about his article, what motivates him to push through the hard and lonely times of solo entrepreneurship, following your dreams, dealing with expectations, and some of the sacrifices you have to make. We get through a lot of stuff, and I really think you love all of it, so don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share this podcast where you listen, and as always, if you have any questions or want to get in touch with me, you can do so on my website, adamgavin.com, or Instagram at adamgavin. Anyway, I hope you really enjoy this conversation with Omar Itani. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for joining me here today. It seems like you have a lot going on, so I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. I'm excited to have a chat with you.
Yeah, I found you on Medium like 2 weeks ago or something like that. I read a lot of your articles that were really, really fantastic, especially one about entrepreneurship that I want to get into. But before I ask anything about that, I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, where you grew up, and where you live right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born, raised in Lebanon, hence my love for the sea. I grew up at the Mediterranean. When I was 14, we moved to Canada with my family. So I did high school here. I did my university, studied marketing. And after that, I really just started traveling. I wanted to see as much as, of the world as I could. So I worked, saved as much money as I could. And then I did it was a really cool master's program at international business, but I did it in four countries. And through those four countries, I did a lot of travel. I was a lot in Asia, a lot in Europe. I worked in India for a bit. Then I was based in Ireland. I was working for Google for 3 years. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll dig into that in a bit.
And yeah, for sure.
Now I'm in Canada.
Back in Canada, yeah. So your family's still in Canada?
My family's in Canada. That's actually one of the reasons I also came back to be with my family a bit. It's been a while since I spent time with them, so I thought it was the right time in my life to do it.
All right, nice. And what did you work for when you're at Google?
So I was working, I was an account manager. I was working with digital media agencies, basically helping clients, you know, devise digital strategies for their marketing campaigns. And I also helped out with talks at Google. I've always been into this, you know, talks and personal development. So I worked with that team to invite speakers. And I also worked with, I don't know if you've tried it. It's like the Tilt Brush, which is the virtual reality. It's like the tool you, it's a mask you wear with the two, with the two handles,
right? Okay, yeah.
So I would do like creative workshops and that. I really enjoyed that part.
Nice. And how long have you been writing? Because I didn't scroll all the way back, but it seems like you've been doing it for a while.
You know what's funny is that that article that you picked up, that's the first article I ever published.
No way, really?
Yeah, and it just went viral. When I published it, I mean, nothing happened. Suddenly, a month later, I just like spiked.
Yeah.
Views, and now it's over 35,000 views, and I just got people writing me from all parts of the world, like thanking me for sharing it, and then you have entrepreneurs sharing it with their followers, saying like, "Sorry." So yeah, and I've been writing since. So basically, since November, it's just been 3 months.
Oh shit! Yeah, you sounded like a very experienced writer, so I'm very shocked. But yeah, I mean, I've been putting out like a couple of articles on Medium, but I didn't have the same success as you, which I guess just shows how much more talented you are at writing, and also like with timing and everything. It's but it was a really great article, so I'm not surprised that it got picked up.
I haven't the first time I published was 3 months ago, but I've been personally journaling.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's, you know, I've written for myself, let's put it that way.
All right, cool. Yeah. So yeah, let's get into that article. It was published in October last year, October 2019. It's called "I Left My Job at Google and Started My Own Business. Here's the Truth About Entrepreneurship." So can you just talk a little bit about like what inspired you to write it?
Absolutely. What inspired me to write this? I think there's a lot to talk about here, but part of my journey. So I guess I'll tell you a bit about the backstory of what led me there.
Yeah.
And what drove me to write this article. First of all, you know, I was at Google. It's the dream, right? I remember I gave a talk at a student university lecture in Canada, actually, like a year ago when I was visiting. And I was telling them I'm working at Google, giving a talk. And one of the questions was like, you just got to Google. You just got to the dream. What's next for you? And I was like, you know, like it's only the dream if you define it to be the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from my standpoint, I really enjoyed working there. But there's always that inner voice of things that I want to try this. I want to try that. Maybe I should try this. And I felt like I was getting a bit too comfortable with the way things are going. And I really knew I was 29 at the time. I felt like this is the right time to actually just try this bold move and see where it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And obviously from the media, what it tells you about entrepreneurship, that like all these great companies and these startup founders, and this guy just exited for $50 million and the startup that went from zero to six figure sales and like a few months just selling a product. And I just looked at these, I'm like, if they can do them, why can't I do it? Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, after when I decided to start a company, so I started with all these preconceived conceptions of what an entrepreneur is, right? This glamorous life, this incredible quick success that I'm going to see in 6 months, I'm going to be super successful. And then literally, the complete opposite happened.
Yeah, I
had no more. I like cut out my income. I moved back in with my family. I put all my money in this business. It's not growing as fast as it's supposed to be, and I'm just dealing with a lot of, you know, I'm watching just through social media. You see all your friends, what they're doing. They're living the life that you had, which is that life of travel. Yeah, I was based in Dublin, so every 2-3 weekends we're somewhere in Europe. This lavish lifestyle that you just said no to, and you're thinking like, am I crazy or
is this
normal? And then all these like self-doubt moments are like, oh my god, holy shit, I don't know what I'm doing. Is this right? Is this wrong? You're just struggling. You're questioning everything you do. You don't even know if you're doing well or not, because based on, you know, startups, you know, 10 times growth. We want to see 10 times growth, but you're only growing at a, you know, 2-3% digit growth. Is that so? There's no context to put anything in. And I just felt, I felt super lonely too, because I had no one to talk through this experience. I don't have any entrepreneurial friends. So all these things, you know, led to, I just flat out just wanted to express them and put them out there.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember part of my journey, I would, you know, late at night, you'd be sleeping in bed and you're like, what did I do with my life? And then I would go on Google and search, you know, started a company, feel like failing, what's happening? And I just started reading stories of other people that went through it. And in my head, I'm like, why didn't anyone talk about this? And all these things led to that article, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of like entrepreneurship and in general, and like that lifestyle is something that really speaks to me as well. Like it's something I want to get into more, but I think it's a problem that we only hear the like insane success stories of, as you said, like people starting their businesses and then selling for $500 million like 1 or 2 years later. But I remember like probably like a year ago or something, because I was getting tired of hearing those stories, and that's like kind of when I turned to like podcasting as well, like these kind of like smaller podcasts to find out and hear stories of people that are doing the entrepreneurship thing and like they're living the life they want. Like they're not making $1 million a year, but they're making like, you know, like a regular job, but it's just on their own terms, which I guess is in a way like what it's about, because obviously you have to make some money to support yourself, but you don't need to make $1 million a year to live the life like of an entrepreneur, unless you want to live like Dan Bilzerian here and or something. But I thought it was very interesting, like you said, you wrote very early in the article, you said about your life at Google, you said like life was too easy, free breakfast and lunch served every single day, 7 restaurants to choose from, an entire gym, swimming pool, dentist, laundry service, barista brewing your coffee, 2 kitchens. I mean, that sounds like the dream for most people. And as you said, like it's when people ask you, like, you know, you worked on Google, like what's next? Like you gotta, something has to go even bigger. But like, obviously you must have felt a strong desire that you wanted something different. But can you, like, what do you mean about it being too easy?
So one of the ideas of being easy is that, like, I think it was a bit different too in Ireland, because you're living in Dublin, which is a huge tech bubble. Like the only people I was meeting, my friends worked at Google or Facebook or LinkedIn. My flatmates worked at Google or Facebook or LinkedIn. You live about 10 minutes away from work. On the weekends, you're going out with Googlers and Facebookers. Your life revolves around this single conversation of, you know, advertising. Everyone speaks a few languages, lived around the world, is selling ads. And I felt like it's restricting my thinking a bit. I want to meet people from different industries. And that was one point. The second point is because easy in the sense that you're just kind of like Google is, I think Google used to be an incredible innovation or startup that now is like, they have over 120,000 employees. It's a big machine. Processes are in place and you're sort of there to continue the process. But I wanted to try something where, let me see if I could build a process myself. And what really drove my desire to say, I'm just gonna take a break and, you know, try to move my life in a different direction. I had, you know how you take everything for granted until a moment happens in your life? There was a day where I just went for a bike ride after office, going home, taking the bike, and I flew off it. I had an accident. I blacked out. Long story short, I had a few injuries, a fracture in my spine. I had a surgery, and all of a sudden, you know, one day I'm running 10K, and the next day I can't even walk. And that really put everything into perspective, in that, you know, I looked at my 20s, I said, one day I'm going to start my own company. One day I'm going to launch a project. One day I'm going to write a book. And all of a sudden today, I can't do anything. And that really put into perspective to me that there is only now, right? And if you want to do something, do it now. Now, do you have to quit your job and do it? I don't think so. Based on my experience, I would not advise it to anyone. But the idea is start now. Stop talking about things, start doing things. And that's what changes everything. So I'm combining two ideas, but this is sort of the whole thinking behind everything was too easy and I wanted a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a very good quote a while back that it's if you want to be the noun, do the verb, which I think is a pretty good quote. Like, it's, you know, if you want to be a writer, write, like, or if you want to be a podcaster, podcast. If you want to be an entrepreneur, like, start a business. Like,
it's so simple, but it's so hard to drill into people's minds. Like, just do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't go all in. This all in is bullshit. Just start small. Just start doing it. Do it consistently. Do it a bit every day and you'll see where you end up in 2-3 years.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a powerful message. So what were those days like when you decided, like, all right, now I want to quit. I want to start my own thing. What was going through your head in those days? And like, how did it, what was going through your head in those days?
I was excited, man. I was relieved. You know why? Because you, like, it's like how everyone perceives you're at Google. How could you step away? And a lot of, you know, my, you know, colleagues at work, like, what are you going to do? Like, I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to see, you know, like, why are we so afraid? And it's funny because when you resign, a lot of people open up and say, like, oh, I wish I could do what you did. You're so brave. And, you know, one of my colleagues told me, like, a guy on my team would say, this is the best it would get. Stop searching for more in life. Like, this is, you've made it. And I didn't know what to tell him, because if you think, like, if you're putting this as a limitation in your life, then that's just the extent of how much you're going to grow in your life, right? Like, we set our own limiting beliefs. And I wanted to kind of go out and explore more. So I felt this big relief, this, holy shit, like, I don't have to wake up and go to the office tomorrow. You know, I have what I want to do today. So I could travel a bit. I could try things. You have an open space and you create your new world. And that's a really nice moment to experience in your life.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I guess it's also kind of enforces the idea that you're not happy unless you're doing what you actually, what's important to you. Because as you said, like, so many people, like, the objective truth is that working at Google is, like, you're not going to get further in your career than that. Like, it's the best place to work at. You have all these amenities and resources. But, and as you said, like, a lot of your colleagues, like, they felt the same thing, that they wished they could quit. And I can find some kind of lesson in that, that even if you end up working somewhere where people say or is supposed to be the best place you can be at, you're not going to be fulfilled unless you're doing something that you actually care about.
Yeah, and I think from my point of view, like, if I'm doing, let's put it this way, if I'm doing the role that I was doing now, after this experience, I would be a different person through it and its performance. And I think the reason is because I've taken this time to explore more what I enjoy in my life and what I want to do and what I want to contribute. And, you know, the thing is, we go through life, you know, you do your high school, you do your university, you start working, and then boom, you keep working, jumping between jobs. And a lot of time we talk about, I'm unhappy, I don't feel fulfilled, I don't think that's right for me. So, and the reason is because we're not spending enough time self-exploring ourselves and just getting more aware of answering the question of what do I want to contribute. You know, for me, I've realized now that I don't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur. I don't want to build the next Facebook or billion-dollar company. I don't care about that. What I want to do is write and inspire people through my writing. This is the one theme that has been present in all the different stages in my life, right? And so I feel like, but going through this experience taught me, like, I always thought I want to be an entrepreneur, the next Zuckerberg. But after this year, I realized it's not who I am. It's not what I want to contribute to the world, right? So I think this is the reason why a lot of people struggle and think they need to quit. But it's not about that. It's about spend more time alone, explore things, get new experiences that teach you about things you like and don't like. Eventually, you can answer the question of, this is what I want to contribute, and you start doing it. And I think that changes the dynamics of how you work and how you perform at work, because now you're seeing it from a different angle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm just, like, processing everything, but it's great stuff. And I mean, based on what you've written so far, like, you're incredibly talented at it. So it's, you know, obviously something you should pursue. So what can you talk a little bit about the time, like, after you resigned until you started your business? I know in the article you talk about a trip to South America.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really wanted to do was one of the things I did after I had my injury and recovered, I said, the first thing I did after, actually, I took my first solo trip. It's something I always said I want to do. And I went to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks. And it was there when I made my decision. I said, in 6 months, I'm going to resign. I'm going to save as much money as I can, start thinking about these I want to do. So I knew I kind of want to go into I wanted to go into more of this. I'm really passionate about sustainability. And so I wanted to try something more in the sustainable side of things. I thought e-commerce makes sense because you don't need your expertise. I tried to work on different app ideas with the old friends. No one was really serious about it, so we never progressed. But I realized if you're trying to develop an app, you need an expert, like a technical developer. Whereas if you're trying to build an e-commerce brand, you know, I've studied marketing. I know how to build a brand identity. I could get the ball rolling on my own, right? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of knew which direction I wanted to go to, but I had no idea what the product or what the business was going to be. So I took some time off. I traveled. It's something I wanted to do, like a long-term backpacking, 3 months. did some Spanish classes and just read a lot, thought a lot. And then it was the time when plastic pollution started to be mentioned. And I remember I was walking in on the Caribbean Sea, and there was a big seaweed crisis at the time, part of the due to climate change. Water acidity goes up, so there's more seaweed. And I just walking through them, and you're seeing a bunch of different plastic pieces everywhere. And it's one thing to read about something, another thing to personally experience it and see it with your eyes. So I was like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And so I started researching different products, the challenge with plastic. I ordered like 3 different books on Amazon, started reading them about plastic, and that just to get into the idea. And the ball started rolling. And that's how I came up with what I wanted to do. And that's how I started my business.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, it's something that I'm very passionate about as well. As I told you before we started recording, like I had a similar idea for a business a couple of years ago, because it's something I truly believe in as well. And like I like the idea of working with something that actually, besides just, you know, making me some money so that I can live my life, it also hopefully like makes a difference as well. Yeah. It's important for me to feel like I'm working on something that actually contributes to something like good, even if you know it's just in my head. but so in the article you have like 5 different points that you make about what it's really or what it's actually like to be an entrepreneur, because there are a lot of misconceptions as we talked about in the beginning. Can you kind of go through those points? The first one being entrepreneurship is not glamorous.
Yes. So entrepreneurship is not glamorous. And I think it's really the go-to line that I'm using now. Like in any articles, I'm writing an article about 10 lessons I've learned. And the first one is entrepreneurship is not glamorous. And the whole idea is that, to put it very simply, you're going to go through a lot of mental struggles, a lot of self-doubt. You're just going to be crushing. You're going to have fear. You're going to think you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're not even capable to succeed. You're going to think that I'm doing everything wrong. You're going to be looking at all the entrepreneurs around you and like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? What's happening? This doesn't make sense. You're going to get a moment where you get your first sale or you hit your first 100 sales and you're like, this is amazing. And then you get like 7 problems right after that. So it's a lot of up and down, and it's not this, like, a lot of people think entrepreneurship is this. And this is what really bothers me, that I still get messages from friends that, like, I'd be talking to them like, Omar, I need a passive income idea. Or I heard dropshipping is easy. I'm like, there's nothing about business that's easy. Yeah. You know, can you do it for years and have a lot of failures through it until you figure out the strategy to succeed? Like this idea of, and what I mean about not glamorous is that, you know, you go on YouTube and you see all these videos and these ads that you look at this. This is John. John just converted, you know, he's making 6-figure sales in 3 months. Every one of them is a scammer. Because not a single one of them is telling you the number of times John failed and lost money in different businesses until he figured out the right formula, right? That the 90% of the work happened there. The 10% is the end. They figured it out. They succeeded.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of, like, it's not glamorous. There's a lot of failures, a lot of challenges. You're in a battle with yourself, and just understand that before you get into it.
Yeah, I remember hearing a quote. I don't remember who said it, but he said, like, I was an overnight success. It only took 10 years to get there.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty accurate. And the second point you said was entrepreneurship will give you a true taste of what it means to sacrifice.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, look at what I sacrificed. You know, I cut out my income. I was traveling every 2-3 weeks. I was on a plane. I didn't travel for 8 months. You're putting your money in your business, and people think it's just about, like, no one considers shipping. Like, just talk about e-commerce, and you have shipping costs, you have your packaging costs, you have random apps that you have to integrate into your store that you have to pay for. You didn't account for that. You have your product investment, you have your advertising costs. Like, all these things require cash and money, and every dollar you spend outside the scope of your business is one less dollar you could invest to grow your business, right? And when you start to think about that, you're like, holy shit, so I'm not going to go to the movies tonight because that's $30 I could put into, I don't know, let's say that's 3 days worth of advertising that I could do to get more customers. Mm-hmm. So you really become very programmatic and think, everything I do outside of that, you start to sacrifice. But it's not by choice. You have, because you really have no choice. You're not making enough money to be able to go to dinners, to go out on dates, to go on festivals. And your friends are going to invite you because they don't understand the struggles you're going through. They're getting their paycheck every month, but you have no income, right? So that's what I mean by sacrifice, is you really have to downgrade your life and say no to everything you used to say yes to. And just be mindful of that before you jump into these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just get through these points. The next one, entrepreneurship is lonely. I guess you kind of touched upon that you have to say no a lot, like to your friends. A lot of them may not understand what you're going through. I have a couple of friends who are, they have like their own business down in Brazil, and they are four guys. I know, because I've been trying to like do some things on my own, like including this podcast, and it is like doing projects on your own is very lonely, but I've always admired them for what they're doing because they always have each other to push each other through like the tough times. But it also like makes me admire like people like you even more, because who actually like managed to push through, I guess, themselves. It takes a lot of discipline. I've had a tiny taste of it. And then the fourth point you made, I thought was really interesting. It's about entrepreneurship isn't about the starting, it's about the just keep going. I thought it was really, it was really insightful, because as you say in the article too, like it takes, anyone can register a company and start a website in 30 minutes, but it's about that everyday like struggle and hustle, I guess. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. It's about like starting. See, the thing is, everyone thinks starting is hard. How do I start? You take one step forward and you're literally it's the first domino. Can you flip the first domino over and things will start to roll? But what I meant by the start is easy, but it's harder to just keep going, because it's about sustainability. Can you sustain your energy over everything we talked about earlier through a year, two, and three? Right. And that's what it is. Just keep going. A lot. It's like it relates to your habits too. Like every New Year's resolution, I'm going to go to the gym. Right. So you jump all in and you sign up for a membership. You go 5 days a week. Suddenly you start going 5 days a week. After 3-4 weeks, you see no results. You're exhausted. You stop. It could be the same thing in entrepreneurship. Right. And the key, I think, to overcome that challenge is to overcome this resistance, is this idea that don't let your enthusiasm get the best of you. You're going to be excited. You're going to go all in. You're going to jump in. My advice is take it slowly, step by step. Do, 1% every day rather than try to do 100% in 1 month. Mm-hmm. And it goes back, I don't know if you've read it, but Atomic Habits.
I've heard a lot of podcasts with him. I haven't read the book, but I feel like I've listened to enough podcasts with him that I know the book now. But
read this book. It changed my perspective on life, about my personal development and success, but also my business, because I think habits relate to both. But this is the idea that, you can get started, but how long can you go? And that's the question about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I remember listening to him. I think it was him, at least, who talked about like designing your environment to kind of make it easier to stick to your habits, which I thought was really interesting. The example he gave, I think it was him in this podcast, was that like, if you want to stop eating cookies, don't put a basket of cookies out in the kitchen, like hide it away. It's going to be easier and take less energy to stick to it. But how do you find, because you're doing this like solo, how do you motivate and push yourself through the tough and lonely times?
So I'll answer that by telling you something about this book. And this perspective changed everything for me. And it's the reason I've been writing like 30 articles in the last 3 months, is because he talks about something, and is everything we do is based on an underlying set of beliefs. right? And the challenge with building sustainable change, whether it's your business or your habits or whatever, is because your identity didn't change, right? If you're a smoker and you want to stop smoking, if you decide you want to stop smoking, you go to a party tonight and someone offers you a cigarette, who do you think is going to has more chance of stop smoking? The person who says, I'm trying to stop smoking, or the person who says, I'm a non-smoker? Right? It's the person who says, I'm a non-smoker.
Yeah.
Because they just, that's their new identity. And when I understood that, I understood what I've been struggling with, is that while I became an entrepreneur, I still saw myself and acted and believed that I'm an employee, right? While I wanted to be a writer, I never called myself or saw myself as a writer. It was an aspiration. And when you kind of make that change and start to see yourself act like an entrepreneur, so take accountability for everything, manage your finances regularly, build the habits you need to succeed as an entrepreneur, build the habits you need. What does a writer do? They write every day. They build a system for their writing. They build their audience, etc. Once you understand that and make it part of your identity, everything becomes easier in life, because now it's part of who you are, not who you're trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we're trying to be something that we struggle and we have resistance. But when we are someone and we're working in the process of becoming that someone every day, you reduce that resistance that you're facing. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, for sure. No, I've been reading some articles about this too, and I think it's such a good point. So you'd say like identifying as an entrepreneur is like the thing that like motivates you and kind of gets you through the gritty work.
So to be honest, what motivates me is that all my life I've been searching. I don't want to say searching for something, but I knew I want to leave my mark. I want to inspire people. And I've just realized through every project I've started, everything I've done, it all comes back to inspiring positive change. Like if I could convince you to not be afraid, to build better habits, to follow your dream, to follow that calling, that little voice we all hear, then I know I've done something good in this world. And I think that's what motivates me, because, you know, I know I'm smart. I know I'm talented. I know each of us is in their individual ways. If I could get it out of the people around me, then I know I've done something well. And that's sort of what motivates me, that I want to keep going, right? It's like, I don't want to start. I want to keep going. And I'd love to see how far I could get.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, your business is, I think, a great example of that. Like, even if I don't know how like well it's going, like financially or whatever, but however few or however many products you sell, like each thing makes a difference because it prevents someone from buying a similar product made of plastic, and it's making a positive difference in the world. So even if I know it's a pretty, it's the business is only like a year old or something like that now, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to continue to grow, but I mean, it's hopefully you can scale what you're already doing. I'm a big fan. Let's get into that. It's your business is called Lovers of the Sea. And on your website, it says it's an eco-conscious lifestyle brand for all those who love the sea and care for it. Can you talk a bit more about the company?
Yeah, I'll give you an idea of sort of what the vision is. I guess that's the best way to do it. I'm actually pivoting right now. One of the things I'm doing, I'm realizing what I really care for is ethical standards and sustainability. And to be completely honest and transparent, our products are all private labeled. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a big budget when I started. So what I really wanted to do was create my own product. But to get into the creation and development process, that costs you a bit more, right? Into designing and that. So I was like, oh, let me learn the industry. I had no idea what it was. So I started with private labeling. And again, you have no control of sustainability, ethical workplace issues, none of that. So what I want to do is, I realize now that I've spent a year, I understood how long it takes. This is going to be a very long-term project. I want to build a circular economy model where we buy, plastic coming from the ocean. We reprocess that, create it into products, for example, like your bathing suit. And then we sell it as a brand, and anytime you want to buy a new pair, you send it back to us, we give you a discount. So that way we recycle and recircle our products and we cut out the waste. That's the long-term vision. And that's where I want to go.
That's so cool. So like, what are some of the products you sell?
Right now I'm selling toothbrushes. What I wanted to do is basically, the idea was, look at the 7 single-use product items that people are struggling with, offer solutions for each. Mm-hmm. So I started with toothbrushes, bamboo straws, cotton swabs, reusable coffee cups, reusable grocery bags. It's been doing well. You start to realize, again, like the 80-20 rule, 80% of the revenue is coming from one or two products. But what I learned, and my advice to anyone who wants to start a company or a brand, do one thing, do it really well. The problem mistakes that I did was I expanded too fast in different categories. Mm-hmm. So that diluted my, let's say economies of scale, right? So now you have different packaging boxes for each one. So you're spreading your expenses. Now you have to do different marketing campaigns for each. Whereas what I've, from studying different brands, what they've done, do one thing, you know, like sell coffee cups. That's it. Design your own, sell it, do it until you have scale and then branch out. That's why my goal is to cut down, build my own product, and then go again.
So what are the like two or three most important products that you have?
Like right now, if I would tell anyone to, I think the toothbrush is the first, our toothbrush is the best seller, and it's the first step because it's something you use every single day, it's consumable, and it just, really, I see it as a symbol. Like, are you going to become someone who's pro-environment or who still neglects it? And it starts with your toothbrush. It's the first thing you do when you wake up, you brush your teeth, right? And that indirectly, I feel like that subconsciously, and that's the message I'm trying to raise, is that living an eco-friendly lifestyle is more than just getting rid of plastic. It's about, you know, understanding that how to live more consciously, how to get rid of bad habits, how to live more naturally in your life. They're just like, the sea is very natural. So that's the message I'm trying. And I think through a toothbrush, you raise awareness and people start asking questions like, why bamboo? What's wrong with a plastic toothbrush?
Mm-hmm. I think it's also pretty cool because, like, as you said, like, this toothbrush is something you use every day. So just looking at that bamboo toothbrush, I think it makes you think about, like, you know, what else could in my home, like, could I replace that's more sustainable? I actually, like, I think it was 6 years ago, when I was in high school in Sweden, I was part of this, like, business challenge, and another company of 18-year-olds, they were selling actually bamboo toothbrushes 6 years ago. That was like before I think anyone was doing it. And this was a group of like 3 18-year-olds in Sweden. I think they won the whole thing. But like looking back at it now, it's almost even more impressive because they were doing it before any of these like influencers or before it became like a thing. Yeah. I think, and I have one right now, but you know, it's they thought about it 6 years ago when they were 18. So that's pretty insane. So why do you think it's important to, or can you talk a bit about the importance of like buying sustainable products and supporting ethical companies?
Oh, I think it's essential. I think if we really want to just sustain this earth, it's impossible not to.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like a stupid question now. Like, obviously it's important to buy sustainable products, but like,
But you
sorry,
yeah. There's a lot of people who are not aware of it. And, yeah. You know, I came with these ideas from, I was based in Europe for the last 5 years. And I came to Canada and I realized my marketing in the beginning was literally, it was just education. People are not aware. As much as we think that we are aware, people are not aware. And I really believe it goes back to, you know, like you're on Facebook, right? You have your interests and all these big tech companies know how you behave and what you like, and they're only going to show you things you like more of. So while in my world, everyone is aware, in your world, if you're not into the sustainability, you might have no idea. You might have not heard even of the fires that are happening in Australia because your newsfeed isn't popping that up for you, right? So our goal is to, like you said, like we have to educate others as much as we can because there's human lives at stake, our entire civilization could be at stake. Just the way the world is going, we cannot sustain the way we live. Consumerism is destroying us, basically.
Yeah, for sure. So would you say it's like part of your marketing strategy to also educate people on these issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I started doing different pages, like one of the things is about, like, if you go on the website, you could see your impact as a consumer, right? This is how much plastic you consume. This is how long it takes for it. It's going to last like five centuries after you, that little bag that you use today to get your apples. The problem is that people are just, we've become so lazy in our habits, right? We just want convenience. And how do you get someone to be non-lazy and non-convenient? And it takes a lot more work than I personally realized, like in the sense of getting people to understand the capacity of this. And, you know, for example, Canada, they banned plastics for 2021. And so many people were upset. McDonald's banned their plastic straws. There was like a petition of 500,000 people who's asking them to bring them back because how am I supposed to drink my milkshake? Like, how do you have a conversation with someone who says that?
And, yeah, it's hard to understand. Holy shit. So who are some of the people that you look to for like inspiration or perhaps advice?
Everything is online, and what I love now, especially in the last few years, newsletters are incredible. Like before, I know the importance of having a mentor. I personally don't have a mentor. But now what I love is, for example, I'm working on becoming a writer. So I'm following top writers who've accumulated more than 50 million views. I follow their newsletter, and some of them, they have like a buy me a cup of coffee newsletter. So you pay like $2 a month and the exclusive conversation with them. So I feel like, my advice to anyone would be whatever field you're in, there are masters who have gotten to the top level of that field. They're playing the highest level of the game. Follow them, sign up to their newsletters, have that open conversation, and you'll learn so much from them. And I think that's really important. And that's what I do, really. I find top writers that I admire, and I'd love to learn from them, and I sign up for the newsletters. And that's how I'm learning, for example, about the world. Nice.
Yeah, my next question was actually going to be if you had a mentor, but yeah, you answered that already. What are your philosophy on like having a mentor, though?
I think it's to be honest, I realized the importance of it after doing this project, because again, I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't build an audience before I launched. I didn't validate anything. I just kind of jumped into it. And this is the idea of why you should build slowly and start small. But that's how, that lesson taught me. For example, I'll be completely honest. One of the things I was working on also is I was writing a book. And halfway through this project, when I started Levers of D, I stopped writing the book because your mind can't focus on both. You got to do one thing, right? But that taught me that I will never launch a book if I don't have an audience for myself. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between launching to 5,000 people and having 1% of them buy from you versus launching this huge product to an audience of zero and then having to market it, right? And no one knows your name. So I think you learn through experience, and that's why I say I'm learning from what the experts have done and how they've succeeded to apply to what I'm doing. I rambled on a bit. I completely forgot your question.
No, it was just your like philosophy on finding a mentor. But I guess you answered it pretty good. Like that, you can just look, especially like with the internet and books, everything's so accessible that you can just look at people who succeeded in your field before you. So, what would you say? I wanted to ask this earlier, actually, but I forgot. What does a normal day like look like? How do you kind of schedule your days now?
So I'm still working for myself, which is super flexible. In terms of the business, it's not a self-sustainable business at the moment. So I'm scoping other projects that I could start working on. But you know, my morning start, I really believe in this powerful morning routine. Start the day, set the tone. I wake up, I have, you know, a bottle of water. And then I like to meditate 12 minutes every day, meditate. And I really believe in affirmation meditation. Repeat this, the messages you want to hear for yourself, right? And after that, I stretch. I like to stretch for 5 minutes. And then I do the most important thing, which is write. So every day I take 2 hours. So after this morning routine, I sit down and just write for 2 hours. I don't have to publish an article, but I need to sit down for 2 hours and write and force myself to do it. Right, and after that, I take a break. I head to the gym, lunch, start working on the business, emails, stuff like that. But it's not about what you do throughout the day. It's about that morning. Set the right morning routine for your body and mind, and then do the most important thing in your day when you have that high willpower and that focus. Do it in the morning. It makes all the difference.
Cool. Thank you. I also wanted to mention that for anyone who listens to this but like hasn't read the article, that like a lot of what we talked about, it sounds almost like discouraging, but I just wanted to mention that, like in the article you mentioned as well, like you didn't write this to discourage anyone from going out on their own or starting their, you know, entrepreneurial ventures, but it's more about that every article you read, it's everything sounds so easy, just like start a side hustle, you're gonna make $50,000 in 3 months or whatever. It's about having like realistic expectations, and that if you start something and you find yourself struggling a few months later, that you're not alone, that it's something that everyone who's gone down that road shares. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that as well.
No, I actually think I would confident to say entrepreneurship is the ultimate personal development journey. You will become a different person, you will think differently, and you will learn a lot about the business world, but you also have no choice but to build yourself up as a person, right? Work on your habits, your productivity, your mindset. So I encourage people to start, but to go slow. Don't jump in too crazy.
Perfect. Where can people find out like more about you and your writing and Lovers of the Sea?
Everything is on my website, personal website, omaretani.com. You can find all the articles, a link to the web, to the brand, and also the newsletter. I send it once a week with all my top articles. I encourage everyone to subscribe.
Perfect. Well, I cannot thank you enough. It was very insightful and great to get to know you a bit better. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Adam. It was a pleasure, man. Oh,